The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Well, good morning again. It is great to see all of you here today. I was reading in the book of Job, and I came across a passage we're going to get to in just a second. For those of you who don't know the story of Job, it's a guy who had everything. I mean, Job was beyond wealthy, and Job had a big family, and in the matter of a moment, literally, Job loses everything. There's so much that Job has. I was telling Michael on Wednesday night, I can't wait. One Sunday I'm working on it, doing a series of the different theologies, the things that we believe that came from this guy named Job's life. It's remarkable how impactful his life was. Well, Job has a wife who, her advice to Job is, Job, curse God and die. In other words, hey, listen, you should just give up, Job. Everything's going wrong, man. Just give up. Job has three friends, and his three friends come to comfort Job. But really what happens is his three friends end up attacking Job and saying, Job, listen, you messed up. You've sinned somewhere in your life. You need to repent because you're a bad guy. And that's Job's friends' advice over and over again, is they're just condemning Job and saying, Job, somewhere along the line, some way, some form or fashion, you've messed up. This is all your fault. Don't you love an encouraging friend like that? Well, there's another friend. Those are Job's three friends, but there's another one. His name is Eliam. Eliam doesn't speak. He doesn't say anything until the 32nd chapter in the book of Job. The 32nd chapter in the book of Job, finally, Eliam comes and he takes a deep breath and he speaks. And this is what he says. He says in Job chapter 32, verse 8, but it is the spirit in a person, the breath of the Almighty, that gives him understanding. And over in chapter 33, he says, the spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Now what Eliam does is he carefully goes in and he comes to Job's friends and he says, you guys can find nothing wrong with Job, but yet you're condemning him. He says, you don't need to find fault in somebody else. You need to probably look at your own selves and determine whether or not you need to be in this. Now the reason Eliam, you find out, the reason he didn't speak earlier is he's younger than the rest of the guys. And so it took him a moment to kind of get his courage up. But when he gets his courage up, he condemns Job's friends and says, listen, you're sitting here and you're telling Job that he's messed up when there's nothing in his life that points to that. But he also looks at Job and he says, Job, how dare you only justify yourself? Do you think that God would put you through this without cause? That's pretty good. That's some pretty good advice from a young guy, right? And after this, Job actually, you see him, and he goes and he has an amazing revelation. And part of it starts with this voice of Eliam speaking wisdom into Job's life. And this morning, I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you, really. That's the biggest thing I want to do for you this morning, is encourage you to just breathe. See, in that passage, it says that he took a moment. He let everybody else speak. He let all the other words come. And then he kind of took a breath and he said, hey, listen, the breath that God gives me is going to give you some understanding. Sometimes we need to take a breath to understand and to remember what gives us life. And just take a breath. Every breath you take is a gift from God. It's to remind us that God is with us still. It's easy to take a breath and condemn people, but every once in a while, it's good to take a breath and look for mercy on people's lives. Sometimes it's good to justify yourself, to speak, but sometimes it's good just to take a breath and remember that regardless of your circumstances, God's still in control. Regardless of whatever's happening in your life, regardless of the political climate, regardless of the sad state of affairs in our world today, God is not surprised. He's not shocked. He's not caught off guard by any of it. He's still in control of everything that happens. Sometimes we need to just take a breath and remember what gives us life. We need to change our perspective a little bit. See, when Eliam speaks and when he shares this wisdom with Job, it's as if this breath of fresh air comes in and it changes Job's perspective, because Job realizes that the whole time he's been justifying himself, he's never thought to consider the person of God and what God could be doing in his life because of all, through all this tragedy and these trials. You say, well, that's great, John. That's so wonderful. We need to take a breath to remember and refocus or get a different point of view. But how do we do that? I'm so glad you asked that this morning. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I'm reading from the Amplified translation of the Bible, and it says this: all Scripture is God-breathed, given by divine inspiration. It's profitable for instruction, for conviction of sin, for correction of error, and restoration to obedience, for training in righteousness, learning to live in conformity to God's will, both publicly and privately, behaving honorably with personal integrity and moral character. Sometimes we need to take a breath and breathe in God's Word. We need to breathe in God's Word, because it's amazing to me as I've gone through different circumstances or situations in life, if I want to change my perspective, God's Word is the best place for me to go and just to study. Because when I do that, all of a sudden my mind and my focus is taken off of what the current circumstances I'm going through. My mind is taken off of the difficulties, the problems I've faced. And all of a sudden it's focused on the good things that I have in life. And that's what this scripture tells us, is that God's Word is breathed out from Him and is breathed to us. It's to reveal His plan. It's to reveal sin in our lives. God's Word is given to help restore wrong behavior, to train me in how I should live. Sometimes when you and I mess up, or when we lose our focus, we need to breathe in God's Word. It gives us our life and our understanding. You say, well, that's great, man, but what do I do after I breathe in God's Word? I'm so glad you asked that also. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 says this: if you're tired from carrying heavy burdens, come to me and I'll give you rest. Sometimes we need to rest and breathe in God's goodness. Now, I know this theme's come up a couple times over the past. Last week we talked about people taking naps and how everybody needs a nap buddy. But I wondered this morning if there are people, us as a group, if we need to rest. You say, well, John, you're kind of contradicting yourself. You've been talking to us for weeks and weeks about moving forward and progressing and going in a different direction. And I understand that that's very true. We do need to do that. But we need to rest while we move forward. Now, I had the privilege of coaching high school swimming. I was a lifeguard. That was all I knew about swimming. I was a surfer in Tennessee, and Dr. Denning, who was the superintendent of the schools, was working out one day next to my office, and he came by and he goes, you're a lifeguard, aren't you? I said, yeah. He goes, you want to coach swimming? Sure, why not? I don't know anything about it. Why not? I'll coach swimming. So the head coach gave me the 50, which is the shortest, and the 500. I think the thought was, you can't coach anybody wrong in the 50. Swim down and back as fast as you can. That's the only coaching. In the 500, if I coached anything wrong, there was time to make up for it, because it was the longest one that they can swim. But what I learned in the 500 is this, as I learned it and tried to help coach these high school students, was this, is that sometimes a swimmer would go out too fast. They would start swimming, and they would start swimming so fast. And what you would have to do is somehow, as the coach, you would have to communicate with the swimmer in the water, hey, you need to slow down, you need to pace yourself, you need to rest. Now, if that swimmer just stopped swimming, what would happen? They'd swim, they'd sink, they'd go down, they'd lose the race. So what you have to do is somehow you have to encourage that person to keep moving forward, but to slow down and rest a little bit, because they're going to need some of that energy, they're going to need some of that strength in order to finish the race the way they're supposed to. This morning, I wonder if some of us are in that boat where we need to keep moving forward. Yes, we need to continue to go on. We need to give God everything we can. But we also need to remember that while we're doing that, it's important for us to rest, to breathe in God's goodness. I encourage you, if you don't already, to write in your Bibles. I love writing my Bible, and here's why. Because it's amazing to me, difficult times or different times I've gone through or been through in my life, I've written something in my Bible and I've gone back and read it years and years and years later. And you know what it does? It reinstills God's goodness. Because I'm transported back to that moment when I wrote that in my Bible. And I remember thinking different thoughts or wondering how I'm ever going to get through this or how can I finish this course, this path, this journey that I'm on. And when I read that letter or I read those words I wrote in my Bible, it reminds me that God was with me then and He sustained me and He's brought me where I am now. Sometimes we need to rest in God's goodness and reflect on what He has done. Say, John, that's great. But let me tell you about the week. Did you know that dadgum DirecTV canceled the SEC football game right before the LSU game last week? Let me tell you how my week started, John. Let me tell you about my week. And that was just the start of the week. And then you could go on and you could go on and you can say, listen, I can't find a single thing to praise God for right now. Y'all ever think, and I'm using silly illustrations, but y'all ever felt like that? Man, you just look around at life and you look at the climate and you look at the political climate and you look at the political, I saw political ads for the first time on TV the other day. I was like, oh, I'm not ready for this. And I look at the tragedy that happened in Georgia and I think about all these different things and it's so difficult to think, God, what in the world can I praise you for right now? Because as I'm looking around, it's difficult to find things to praise you for. There's this passage in Scripture. It's in Psalms. We read it time and time. I know this was one of Max's favorite passages. Psalms chapter 150, starting in verse 1, and he says this. David does. Hallelujah. Praise God in His holy place. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him for His immense greatness. Praise Him with the sounds of horns. Praise Him with the harps and the lyres. Praise Him with tambourines and dancing. Praise Him with stringed instruments, with flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with crashing cymbals. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And it's so funny as I read through that passage, that passage of Psalms, and I saw all the busyness. You know, I just imagine like, y'all ever had music lessons with kids? You know what I mean? They all have an instrument. Our house, it doesn't matter what it is, they find instruments or they make them out of sticks and out of like pots and pans and different things. And nobody's playing the same thing and it's just mass chaos. And as I read through that, and David's listing all these things and all these things and with this instrument and dancing and tambourines and all this different stuff and the craziness that goes on. And he ends it with that passage by saying this, let everything that breathes. Now, some of your translations may say, let everything that has breath. Others of your translations may say something like, every living creature praise the Lord. But going back into the original text, the Aramaic, the Hebrew, the phrase is literally this, let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Now, that's just a small difference. That's not really that big of a difference, right? But that small, little, subtle difference matters. Because it says, let everything that breathes praise the Lord. So I kept reading it as I found that passage and I started thinking about that difference. And I found this passage in Psalm chapter number 8. Verses 1 and 2, it says this, O Lord our God, your greatness is seen in all the world. Your praise reaches to the heavens. It is sung by children and babies. You are safe and secure from all your enemies. You stop anyone who opposes you. Then I got to West wondering, how in the world can a baby sing praises to God? Just a second ago, my kids, they grew up in church, bless their hearts, but I mean, like, they've just been, it's been poured into them. But I always find these interesting moments The other day I had my headphones in at the house, and I was listening to praise and worship, and Nora got one of my headphones and put it in, and she was singing the worship song that I was listening to because she knew it. This morning I was holding heavy during that first set of worship, and it was crazy. I never taught her those words, but she was able to sing them. But they know those words. They're old enough now. They know what it means to sing. They know what it means to praise. That says children, babies. How in the world is a baby singing praises to God? Unless every breath is praise to God. What if every breath is a praise to God? And that very first time the baby comes out and it screams and it takes that breath of air and it fills its lungs and it exhales that breath of air and that scream and that cry, that is praise to God. From the moment that child enters the world, it is singing God's praise because it's taking a breath in and it's exhaled it out. See, it's really cool. There's this name for God in the Old Testament. His name is Yahweh. Now, we've changed it from YHWH to YAHWEH. We added the vowels. That's what we did as the English language. But in the Greek, or sorry, in the Hebrew, when this word was written, this is what it was. The YH was said, and the WH was said, every breath was given to you to praise God. Now, that's such a cool story. That's great. That's wonderful. Where does this all come to place at? You have in your notes there, Moses. It's Exodus chapter 5. Moses is coming. He's supposed to go free the nation of Israel from Pharaoh. And he comes to him and he goes and he says, Pharaoh, Pharaoh, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, no, no, I won't. And all those different things. And Moses, the Israelites' labor is increased and their work is harder and everything like that. And Moses goes to God and he says, God, I'm at the end of my rope. I cannot find a reason to praise you anymore. I can't, God. Nothing I'm doing is working. I've tried and I've tried and I've gone to Pharaoh. I've done what you told me to. I've told Israel that I am who sent me. God, it doesn't make any sense. I can't find a reason to praise you. In chapter 6, God comes to Moses. And this is the first time in all of Scripture that God reveals his name as Yahweh. He says in chapter 6 of Exodus, God spoke to Moses and he says to him, I am Yahweh. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob as Almighty God. As for my name, Yahweh, I have not been known to them. I have also established my covenant with them to give them land in Canaan and sojourning. I have also heard the groaning of my sons in Israel who are in Egypt. Who is causing them to serve. And I remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the sons of Israel, and I have brought you out from under their burden. Over and over again, as Moses goes through this whole passage, what he does, or as God goes through this passage, he tells Moses over and over and over again, Moses, I understand you don't think you have any reason to praise me, but Moses, all you have to do is breathe. Just breathe, Moses. Take a breath. That breath is praise to me because that's the name I'm giving you. I'm telling you that every breath that you take, every breath the nation of Israel takes is praise to me. And when they can't find any other reason to praise, God tells them just take a breath. And in that, you're praising me. Church, I don't know where you are exactly this morning. Maybe today you can't find a reason. You say, man, listen, my week's gone from bad to worse and the future doesn't look any better. Every time I turn around, something else happens and it just keeps piling up and piling up. And honestly, John, if I were to be completely transparent with you, I'm at the end of my rope and I'm done. I cannot find a reason to praise God this morning. There it is. Every breath that you inhale and exhale is praise to God. And all you need to do this morning is just simply take a breath. You may not be able to do anything else. You may not be able to mount up and muster strength to go out and witness to somebody. You may not be able to be and serve and do like you want to. You may not be able to find any reason or joy in your life, but all you can do is simply this. If that's you this morning, then just take a breath. Again, I don't know where you are. I don't know all the different things that are going on in your life. I hear stories, and some of you guys share with me what's going on in your life throughout the week. And I'm so grateful because I want you to know I'm always praying for you. But listen, this morning, maybe this is what you need to do. You just need to take a breath. Let that be your praise to God. Now, it's interesting. His name is two parts, right? It's the Yahweh. Some point in time, you've got to breathe out too. It's great to breathe God in. It's great to breathe God in. It's great to breathe God in. But we've got to exhale that breath, church. So this morning, you may come in, and that's where your praise is found. It's not an inhale necessarily. It's in the inhale and the exhale. It's in the continued pattern of breathing that you praise God. I don't know where you are this morning, but if you can't do anything else, let every breath you take praise God. Father, thank you so much for your word. Lord, I thank you for your church this morning. God, that's here. Father, some of us just need to take a breath this morning. We've let worry, we've let circumstances, we've let bank accounts, we've let schedules overwhelm us, suffocate us. God, this morning we just need to take a breath. God, we just need to sit in your goodness for a moment. Lord, I pray that during this moment of worship, you would just help us take a breath. God, that it would be praise and glory and honor to you for the goodness. But God, as we breathe out, as we exhale, that we would be reminded of all the goodness, of all that you've done, of how you've brought us to this moment here, and we would continue on, if nothing else, just breathing. Because in that, Father, you're glorified. Lord, I pray that this moment of worship, that our breath is honoring and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.